right. Hey, Podcastlandia. I am here today with Kiar to talk about Dark Fic. I want to let you guys know that just like some previous episodes, I am at my family's shore house. So if you hear seagulls and or wind chimes, that is why. There's only so much sound control I can do in this particular quote unquote recording studio, but I know you will give me and Key is sadly not physically with me. So she will not be having seagulls on her end of the chatter, but I might on mine and I can't prevent it. So I'm very, very sorry. But Key, thank you so much for joining us.
You're so welcome. I'm thrilled to be here.
I'm so glad. So let's start off the way we start with everybody. Tell me your fandom origin story.
All right. So, I started reading fan fiction at the tender young age of like 9. It was like a GeoCities time. It was a fanfiction.net time. I was an absolute fucking lurker. Like, I did not interact. I was very aware. I sort of grew up in a very cloistered home. So the internet was my refuge. That was what I had. That was what I had to keep me going. I read everything. I read everything I could possibly read. So I think I started out in like X-Files fandom around, I don't know, like 2001. And I read a lot of shit that I probably should not have read at that age. And I bounced around, you know, I read a little bit of everything, but like nothing really hit me quite the same way until my girlfriend in college gave me this Iron Man omnibus. And I read it one summer and then I was lost. I was absolutely lost. There was no coming back. So that is the way I got it. Yeah. I spent all summer reading Iron Man comics, and I think it was Fractions Run during that time, which is not widely celebrated amongst us comics fans. But it was what I had, and I was so excited. I'm just very excited. Like, so that was when I would say that my transition into Marvel was when I became like actively fanish.
Okay.
Not to say that lurkers are not fanish, but like I wasn't. So all I was doing was like consuming content, which is a vital part of fandom. But I was writing fan fiction, but I wasn't sharing it with anybody. So like through my teenage years. So Marvel was like, okay, I have something to say about this. It needs to come out of my body. And I wrote a bunch of fanfic for like a kink meme, I guess, because we had those. We still had LiveJournal in the Marvel days. And I posted some kink meme pills and then people started to read them, which I did not expect.
As somebody who loves your writing, I'm not surprised, but I also know none of us understand our own writing. So I'm also not surprised that you were surprised, if that makes sense.
It does.
So has it always been Stony then? Were there other comic ships that you were writing?
Since then I've developed a variety. I'm not like a Steve Tony only shipper now that I've read the comics. Like I incorporate other ships into my Steve Tony writing. I accept that they're both people who have had a long and storied past with multiple partners. And that's a thing that I like to actually feature in my fics because
you like to talk about the fact that they are holistic, full people. And
yes,
not just that their whole lives exist. Like, I mean, Ferret and I joke all the time that Ferret only wants to read stories about Steve and Tony, and I like to write their wild, you know, wide world. And so you're more on the me end of the spectrum than the Ferret end of the spectrum.
Yes, definitely. So like Tony's had all these partners, Steve has had all these partners. And because I am an angst writer, like first and foremost, tension between current and past romantic partners really feeds well into that. And because comics canon is obviously like a fucking monster, there's too much of it. There's so much of it. There's always something to grab from to make somebody sad, usually Tony.
There's always something to grab to make someone sad, should be a comics tagline, because that's amazing. I mean, yeah, we've talked, like you and I have talked, you know, in Discord for the entire time we've known each other now about how much comics scare me because I never know where to start and I never know what to do. But I want to go back to the fact you just said I'm an angst writer. So I think of you as a dark fic writer, which may or may not be kind to you or may not be something you love. Cause in my brain, I got the dark fic that I read for a long time, I would not go past you or sign. You were the only writers I trusted.
No, I'm flattered. I take that as a high compliment.
Take it as a compliment. Okay. So is there for you a difference between being an angst writer and a dark fic writer?
I think there is overlap. They're definitely distinct. I would say that all to most dark fic is angst, but not all angst is dark fic. There are certain in a similar way that I would also say most dark fic is all dark fic is horror too, but not all horror is dark fic.
So I like that. Give me your working definition of dark fic then.
So I came up with a formula, because it's really hard to look at a fic. It's really hard to ask the question, like, what is dark fic, and give a concrete answer. Three people are going to give you three totally different answers. And like, that is a function of fandom, but also because it can be so many things, and there are also things that it is not. So then there's like this very narrow window where I feel like dark fic lives. So there are certain content elements that generally indicate that something can go in a dark fic direction. Like I would say, you know it when you see it. So the content things that I identified, tendency towards angst, wump, as in the bodily harming of a human. So like torture, body horror is often one of these elements. Detailed drawn out explorations of grief can be in that too. It doesn't always just have to be like a wump fic. It can be like, there's definitely a psychological landscape that is very specific to dark fic in a way that is not necessarily to angst, because angst also, I would say, encompasses hurt comfort, which is definitely not dark fic in my mind. Some people may argue with me on that, but there's definitely like a line where dark fic stops being dark fic and then veers into hurt comfort for me. Okay. So we have the content. Also, I would say that dark fic can often explore a perpetrator's point of view in a way that a regular angst fic is maybe afraid to do, or that you don't see as often in hurt comfort.
Or even I would say that there is a perpetrator, because in hurt comfort and in angst, usually it's a mutual misunderstanding. It's humans being humans. There's not a perpetration aspect within it. So that would even tip it into dark fic then.
Right. There can be in hurt comfort, but you know that there is an expectation of resolve and resolve in a way that does not feel emotionally devastating in hurt comfort. So that is one of the elements that I would say makes a dark fic, is not only the delivery of like how you're presenting these themes, but then how do you feel after you read the fic? Do you feel like emotionally fucking devastated? Do you feel like you can't stop thinking about it? And you are disturbed by it in a visceral way for the entirety of your bus ride or your commute? If so, you may have read dark fic.
Fair. Well, for those of us who are dead inside like me and are not emotionally affected by fics, I would say the thinking about is the thing I can't get out of my head for sure.
Yeah. It's interesting that you bring that up, because I was also thinking of like, so another element of this equation for me, so it's content and then like the outcome, but there's also the delivery of it. So I feel like something endemic to dark fic is a really up close, zoomed in exploration of the psyche of whoever your point of view character is, right?
Okay.
And this can bring you sort of an immediacy that you wouldn't get with like a more casual angst fic. And it doesn't have to be an immediacy though, because, you know, as you said, some of us are dead inside. Yeah. So some of the best dark fics I've read also do a really, really effective job of distancing you from the narrative and like sort of drawing you into a dissociative state via the narrative. So, and all of this is just leading to trauma, like a deep dive into trauma. I think ultimately separates just angst. Not to say that just angst is lesser, just that that's how I'm distinguishing it from, I think dark fic is more hardcore on a spectrum.
Yeah. It's the extreme of everything. So it's the extreme of horror, it's the extreme of body horror. It's the extreme of all that, because I think like the emotional devastation for those of us who are not dead inside, I think in a certain level, what dark fic is these are the things you can't come back from.
Like, yeah, I would argue. Yes. Yes.
From this level of angst.
Exactly. So like in dark fic for me, the protagonist or protagonists lose something of themselves, like fundamentally, or they are broken, or they are altered, or they are transformed in a way that they cannot, in which they cannot then revert to their original state in any way. Like nothing that happens beyond this point in their life is ever going to put them back where they were before the story happens. Again, I'm just describing trauma.
Yeah, I was about to say it's interesting because I was talking to a friend of mine, friend of the pod, Alex Jameson, about the fic that I've written that I would classify as dark fic. And she said, there's no way in hell that you've written dark fic because, and I named the fics and she said, no, because you still bring people back from them. Like there's still, she's like, you may have written like hurt, comfort, womp, and like really intense. And she goes, but the whole point of dark, and she's like, and you've written horror.
Yes.
But you can still bring people back from those brinks. And so the bringing people back, I stole directly from her without any shame, because that's what friendship is, just stealing from each other constantly and occasionally giving credit, truly. But I think that's really that idea of a fundamental change. I write a lot about fundamental change. And I think a lot of people that write real life, especially like longer fics where we're like digging into something, we do something with change. I mean, you have to. It's the narrative structure of a story. Something has to change. But there's a difference between Bucky becoming a different version of himself because Tony loves him, and that arc change to Bucky has been dramatically traumatized because he was kept in a hole for 6 weeks. And the Bucky that was the Bucky at the beginning of the story and the Bucky at the end are different people, regardless of his relationship with Tony.
Yes. Even if he has the best relationship with Tony, if he's in a dark fic, he's going to experience something that will possibly break their relationship, but will absolutely fundamentally alter the dynamics of it, despite the best interest, despite how emotionally capable both of them are. Right. You know? So that's how I think of it.
I like that a lot. So what draws you to creating in this space, particularly?
In the dark fic space, as opposed to like any other genre I could be writing?
Yeah, I guess. Like, I mean, because again, like for me, the resolution is an important part of writing. And so that's why even when I do lean towards hurt comfort, I have to have a very particular positive-ish resolution. I don't share that with a lot of other, like that's not a mandatory thing for other people who create. So as you're creating, why does this fundamental change of human draw you?
There's a bunch of reasons. The thing that comes to mind is I can draw a straight line from that scene of Han Solo in the chair from The Empire Strikes Back to me writing dark fic. Let me explain.
Please, because I can't go there with you just right now. So
I write dark fic because my id wants it. And okay. My id wants it, I think, because I look at that scene of Han Solo and I think, but what if I could go further with it? What if I could totally fuck him up all the way? Because I've watched a lot of shows. So I also made a foray through like Buffy Angel fandom and Supernatural fandom, and now I'm sort of in Witcher fandom. I read a lot in that. So fandoms that have these really intense bodily harm situations always make me go, okay, but they're not exploring that to its fullest. This is especially true of like live action things. People experience traumas, like really intense trauma, and then an episodic show does not have the capability to like process that trauma in a way that will hook a viewer or that will interest a viewer. And most showrunners, I don't think, have like the language to talk about it. So it doesn't happen. So like in Buffy, people experience these huge traumas and then like it's brushed past, right? It's wiped over. And that has irked me from a very young age. So I look at Han Solo in the chair and I'm like, okay, but what if he like cried about it in Leia's arms later? Like, what is he feeling? What is he thinking about? Why don't we get to see that part? And I think the reason that happened to me is because I wasn't allowed to watch a lot of media as a kid. Like, I was not allowed to engage in the things I wanted to. So when you tell somebody they can't do something, they do it more and harder and more intensely, and they look it right in the face.
Usually.
So
yeah. Very common human tendency. Yeah.
So there is something very inherently taboo about dark fic. Even though, like, we're talking about it openly on a podcast right now, I do feel like in fandom, it is still sort of like a thing that gets pushed into a corner. Mm. I think dark storylines in general, this is changing, obviously. I mean, the landscape of media is always changing, but I do think that people shy away from like really delving into how fucked up trauma can make you. And I don't like that. I've had personal experiences of trauma. So part of me being drawn to this is looking it in the face, like going all the way, like looking at the thing I'm writing about and really like looking at what that would be like for characters, because it doesn't seem right to me to address it in only a cursory fashion. I feel like it demands delving into like a deep dive. So that's part of the reason why it's hard for me to just include something like really dark and then, you know, whisk it away with healing cock or gentle kisses or like a long bubble bath in my fic. I understand that that's a use for a lot of people. That's like can be a really useful fantasy and a really useful way of engaging with this stuff. But that's not for me. I want to hear people talk about it because I don't see them talking about it in real life.
Fascinating. That makes a lot of sense. And I think that that connects in my brain where one of the reasons where I like to do the talking, but then I also like to do the bubble baths is because in my particular life, I do see a lot of conversation about trauma. And so I've rehearsed that with a lot of people. What I haven't seen as much is the putting people's lives back together.
Right.
And that's just
because, totally valid.
Like, because of my work, that like you're now helping, as we're talking, you're helping me understand why I struggle to write anything dark that isn't also hurt comfort. Like I can't go all the way because I do it too often daily.
That's fair.
And so that makes sense to why, like, for, cause I don't lean in, I don't write like super, super de duper saccharine fluffer nutter over maybe 2,000 words, like ever. Like I have to inject just for me and how I create. I have short fics out there that will give you diabetes 100%. But if I'm going to do anything long, I have to inject some level of conflict and or trauma.
Right. But I totally understand that.
I can't go there. And I've been wondering why since I started trying to write dark fic at Christmas. And I've been trying to figure out why. And you gave me some language to understand why for me, part of the fantasy has to be, okay, what next?
Good. I'm glad what I could now? Do that for you.
Yeah. So thank you for that. And thank you for everyone who just indulged me in listening to that. But I love that for you as well. And you nailed the head, like for some people, the fantasy is that bubble bath. And we've talked about on this podcast. And then I think everyone who talks in fandom talks to each other about the fact that fandom is fantasy. The porn is fantasy. The relationship dynamics are fantasy. Transformative work in and of itself is a fantasy of a reality you've been presented with that you find inadequate in some way.
Right. Also with dark fic, it's particularly fascinating because it deals, like often there is a lot of sexual trauma involved. Like I noted, like when I listed all my content qualifiers of what makes a dark fic, like a lot of it is porny because fan fiction and writing and fiction are spaces that you control. You, the writer, control it. So it is a way to delve deeply into topics that you cannot delve into in other areas of your life or other spheres. And you can do it in a way that you control, which is like a huge part of healing from trauma.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
It's control. It's like, how do I want to look at this? Do I want to look at it? Do I want to lay it all out on the table in front of me? Or do I want to allude to it and write a bubble bath instead? All of these methods are valid.
Yeah. And it's so important to say that. And I've been bugged since rejoining fandom. So the other fandoms that I've been in dark fic were not necessarily a conversation as much because like I was in West Wing and in,
yeah.
And like, it was there in Harry Potter, but the era of Harry Potter that I was in, I was really active in Harry Potter while canon was still happening. And so
right.
like, canon was dark enough. So like you didn't, like we didn't, I've read some much, much darker, dreary stuff since. But when I was creating in it, that just wasn't the vibe in general at the time. And yeah, like Dawson's Creek, we didn't really do dark fic. Like, so the, my first really interactions with dark fic have been Marvel.
Right. It's absolutely fandom dependent too, because yeah. it's like, I have a metric. It's like, what is the angst potential for this fandom? And I look at the source material. Like if you're having like, it's like, how likely is it that I'm going to be able to find dark fic? Because that's what I like to read. So sure. sometimes I like won't get involved in a fandom if it's like, I don't know, due south. Like, where am I going to find the dark fic for due south? Totally I'm sure fair. Some of it's out there, but like, that's whereas probably like, not the bulk
I,
of it.
Yeah, like I can't find the good fluff at all for Witcher. Like I only
right. Actually, I do have probably recs for you later. So
probably we'll yeah. talk. Yeah. And for dark, angsty stuff, like I love Game of Thrones for that. So
yeah.
Yeah. Because oh my God, those poor people. Those poor, poor people. poor people. But yeah, like I love Check Please and I love writing and reading in Check Please. There is angst in that for sure, because there's always angst in college experiences, but there's yeah. not big angst as much. I'm sure it exists. I have not sought it out. I want Biddy and Jack to be happy. So it's
me too.
I just always want them to be.
These are pie.
They deserve so much pie. And I love adding Parson to it too. So, cause I'm a little poly shipper at heart. Always just Word. More dicks. Why not just add more, just more dicks. So in terms of somebody who is looking, so what I was saying about all that at the beginning is I've been bothered that it's so maligned for so long, because to me, it is just judging people's experiences with trauma and judging their interactions with trauma in a yes. way that none of us have a right to do, which really pisses me off. If you me don't, too. If you, it's different than in romance where it still bothers me that we're publishing rape fantasies in romance. It does. Because of the commercial aspect of what can make money and what we're propagating and putting out there. If fandom, the point can be therapeutic in a yes. way that I think commercial fiction has a different level of responsibility regarding that.
I agree. I have seen commercial dark fic and it is not the same. That's what okay. I'll say. I read this book that was recently marketed like in mainstream SFF sci-fi fantasy circles, right? It's called Docile. Okay. It is slave fic, but it is trad pub. It is traditionally published. And it is not the kind of dark fic that you can get on AO3. It is significantly less intense. It deals with sexual trauma, but is sort of sanitized.
Okay.
And generally, I felt here's the thing. I bring this up because all of the reviews I read and all of like the Twitter reactions to people reacting to this book's release in real time were like, oh my God, like this is visionary. Like this is so dark. Holy shit. And I read it and I was like, I have read darker things over breakfast.
Yeah.
Like 60 times over. So it's very, it's interesting what the mainstream thinks is dark and then dark fic and then what fandom thinks is dark. And then beyond that dark fic. In a league of its own, I would say.
Yeah, because the difference too, I'll say, is once you get into traditional publication, there's probably 30 to 40 people that have a say in what the story is before it actually gets published.
Yes. And
so it's not a personal exploration of trauma anymore, no matter how, like I've written memoir chapters that were really, really raw, sent them to publishers and have had them massacred. And what actually exactly. gets traditionally published doesn't sound like me at all. And versus if I just threw it on my blog or turned it into an AO3 story, it's going to be much more therapeutic to me and is much more therapeutic to me than anything traditionally published.
Exactly. So I brought this up because you mentioned a wider responsibility when you have a larger, like more official platform, like TradPub. And the effect is markedly different. Was the point I wanted to make. This book has been sort of widely criticized in similar ways that I have seen dark fanfic criticized, but they are fundamentally different because fandom is like an underground space predominantly populated by queer people and female identifying people. The stats, I believe, still agree on this in the year 2021.
About 80%.
Yes. So the person who wrote this book is queer. I believe that he's trans. I believe he's openly trans. Would have to check on that. But it is notable to me that the reception in a public space is like very aggressive. And
there's also something different from my perspective too about asking somebody to spend money to consume a work and asking somebody to spend time. And that's a different alchemy in how we can tell the stories and how we can. I do think that there is a level, even within fandom, for responsibility in telling your fic, which is why we talk about tags so much. Like, it's why we have the conversation about tags. It's why, and like, I would love it if romance novels would put tags on the back of their fics, but they don't. And so that is another reason. That reason, and then as I'm talking, the other thing is that fandom is generally a conversation. It's been ongoing forever. We react to each other's fics. I am a different writer because I've read some of your 616 work. It even affects my MCU work. Like, I am a different writer because of how Ferret writes Tony and how, like, I was actually just reading a Tisfin work the other day, and that is absolutely going to inform how I'm writing the current Winter Iron I'm working on. We are in conversation with each other in a way that traditional publication is actually the structures prevent it from being in conversation with other artists.
Yes, well said.
And that is why it bugs me that dark fic is maligned in fandom spaces where this can be a conversation.
And it's a necessary conversation.
And a necessary one, because a lot of us are walking around. Well, first of all, every human being is walking around like a bucket of trauma.
Right. But you're more likely to run over like six traumatized people in fandom.
Yes.
I think than you are, like, just because of the demographics, like, alone makes us more predisposed to, you know, have had an experience like that. So I think it's really, really important to, like, not malign dark fic.
Yeah, no, I completely.
I mean, it's a really valid tool, and you can't tell people what they can and can't write for free in their own time in fandom.
Yeah.
And also, right. Also, like, the back button's right there. That's right, the thing. There.
God bless.
That's
it.
That's the thing.
Right there.
So when we malign dark fic, you're running over the experience of survivors. And I also think it's important to note that, like, everybody does not have the same needs in their creation and consumption of fan works. And that's not a conversation I see a lot of people having, and I want to have it more. Because a lot of people complain about dark fic and they're like, oh, this is so harmful to survivors, like, whatever, this is perpetuating X, Y, and Z bad things, like, it shouldn't exist in the world. Like, a lot of the arguments I see in fandom, especially like younger segments of fandom these days, which I don't think is a coincidence, is that if it hurts one person, it shouldn't be allowed to exist at all, and which totally ignores the idea of competing needs for traumatized and neurodivergent people who are working out their shit in their fanfic. So
we have to be able to hold trauma and not compare it to other people.
Yes.
And trauma is not something that is comparable externally. It's only comparable internally. You can only understand your own trauma as how it interrupted your life and interrupted your personal life cycle, and how trauma interrupted the life cycle of the person you're talking to, not how their trauma, how you judge their trauma. And this is very, very clear to me, even with the hurt, comfort, Twilight, not quite dark fic that I've written, the judgments that I got in the comment section were so clearly reading their own lives entirely into the fic and drawing the conclusions based from their life into the fic. Valid. That's what the back button is for. It is not for me to have to hold your interpretation of the trauma I put on the page.
Exactly. That's very well said. I've had similar experiences. I've gotten harassment, not so much recently, but a lot in the past for things I've written in fandom, like people coming into my DMs and being like, this isn't feminist. Kill yourself. Why do you write this? Have you tried reading Audre Lorde? It's a real message I got one time.
Not the mic. Oh my God. Have you tried reading Audre Lorde? Sure. Okay. Sure.
I have, in fact. I've read a great many of her essays, but it doesn't matter, and it's not germane to the fan content I create. And my creations are not threatening you. And if you think they are, you need to back the fuck up. And you need to let it, you need to give fandom, this is like fandom, this is beginning to become fandom wide, not just about dark fic, but like about anything one person finds objectionable. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, if I don't like this, it shouldn't be allowed to exist. Well, you're gonna have to reevaluate that.
Terrible, terrible news for you about the world.
Yeah, pretty much. But like harassment is alive and well, and I feel like dark fic writers get it more. That's where I was going with that.
I mean, statistically, just in my very, very minor colloquial conversations, I think that's true. When I ask people on the dark fic servers, it also appears to routinely be more personal. A lot more about calling people's character into question, a lot more about calling, have you read Audre Lorde? Sorry, I'm going to be on that for a little while. That's the funniest thing I've heard in a long time.
So glad I could make you laugh.
I mean, honestly, Key, thank you so much. But anyone who has written anything remotely difficult, I think, has gotten something about their personal character. And, you know, Saber and Ferret and I talked about it on the first episode of this season, that a lot of the assumptions that Saber got about her character based on what she wrote in Celestial Navigation, and that has happened frequently for a lot of fandom writers and for a lot of writers, full stop. Just when you're traditionally published, you have more barriers between you and the people that think that you should go to hell.
Right.
And, you know, there's less barriers now. And it's something for all of us to hold, that if we truly do believe that fandom is a community, and a lot of perhaps these folks don't, but they're behaving as, to me, the policing, their need to police communicates to me that they believe fandom is a community. And if you really do believe that fandom is a community, if you believe anything's a community, part of that process is allowing people to exist in it that you don't agree with.
Yeah, that's true. Also, like, fandom is so into deep character exploration in a way that, you know, the media that we're basing our fan works off of is not. Like, often fandom exists to fill those gaps and to explore those interpersonal connections. And like, if you can't explore the full spectrum of human interactions, including, not limited to, but like including things like violations of consent and infidelity and the messier bits of relationships, like, what is the point in going at all? I feel like
it's completely valid. I don't want to read 4 million stories about people having babies happily if there's not also 4 million stories about infertility and miscarriage and the pain that comes along with that, because the full experience has to exist if we're trying to transform works into human creations. Yeah.
I don't see. Right. And if you are a person who has had a really difficult experience, like a miscarriage or like a really intense body experience or like any kind of sexual trauma, where do you see that reflected? You're not seeing it in, you know, the mainstream media, unless it's, I mean, you're generally not seeing it being written by people like yourself. You know, you're not seeing your experience reflected in maybe the way you think it deserves all the time. So like, fandom is a breathing space for that. And I think it needs to keep being that.
I love that phrase. Fandom is a breathing space. That's great. I really, really love that, 'cause I think that's really true. I think that's a beautiful place to pause this conversation, because I don't think we can get more eloquent than that. So what I would love to know is if you've got recs for folks about fics that you believe everybody should read.
I do. I have a few. I brought my dark fic recs. So some of these are just authors, and I feel like you should just go check out like their entire discography. But I do have specific ones. I would say I would definitely make everybody read, this is my personal favorite because this was a present for me. I would make everybody read Sanyala's All Time Low, which is fucking wretched. Go love yourself and read it.
It's innately traumatizing. Go demonstrate your self-love by traumatizing yourself via Stephen Tony. You're welcome. Yeah.
I would... And there's a lot of spin-offs, like people have done remixes and things of that. So
it's also an incredible thing. That. Yeah. It's my favorite dark.
There's a recent one featuring Superior Iron Man that I really loved, and is called A Borrowed Body by Dirigible Plumbing. It's Steve's point of view. It's very meditative and dismal and lovely. So you should go read that. I would recommend literally anything by Romanoff. I don't think they're as active in the fandom right now, but there's like tons and tons of their stuff on AO3. There's a comic I return to often, and it's called Almost Perfect by 1 in 5 9s. It is a Steve Tony work. Read all of the tags for all of these, obviously, as we are in dark fic territory. Love yourself. I would also recommend literally anything by The Gray Tigress. Her work is like almost exclusively dark fic and tends to deal with it's MCU pretty much exclusively, and it's a lot of Steve Tony, but deals with a lot of body horror, lots of torture, lots of really really messy recovery stuff, which I love. And that's what I got for Rex.
Well, they will be linked in the show notes, just like everything. Gray Tigress has unfortunately removed herself from AO3, but there's lots of people around fandom that have their works, and they were clear when they left fandom that they were okay with us still sharing their works. They just wanted them off AO3. So through methods, as we would say, you can find folks who have them. And I would agree with Key that they're worth checking out. If you've got recs for us, obviously we'll throw more recs in the show notes if you've got them. And come join us. If you're listening to this, as always, and you've got some thoughts, hop into either the server as you're listening to this, or on Tumblr or Twitter or anywhere, but honestly, hop into the server and let's talk some dark fic and see where you agree and or disagree with me and Key and how we've had this conversation, because we love to talk about fandom. Key, a joy as always.
Thank you. This has been so good. I'm so happy.
It's been one of my favorite things about this podcast is that I get this privilege of having these conversations every week. And most of you who I talk to don't get it. And the common thing is, oh my God, it's so nice to say these words out loud.
It really is. It's very freeing.
I love creating this space for folks to do that. So happy to do that. Everybody else, we'll see you in the next segment.